WLFE DB Radio.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
MetalMayhemROC.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to November. Wow, things are just scooting along real quick in the second half of 2021. As always, Thursday nights, brand new content drops. Visit the MetalMayhemROC.com website. There you can pick up live streaming links to Spotify, Apple Podcast, download some past shows in the archive drop-down box, subscribe to the podcast. Simply just put your email in the little box. We'll send you updates on merch giveaways, promos, anytime we have new shows. And we will give you notification about the live Monday night radio show that I host on thatmetalstation.com. It's a 3-hour show. I play metal from the last 50 years, new stuff. I play some interviews from this show. There's a chat room there. You can talk with other bangers around the world. It's pretty cool. Tonight's show, we have a couple interviews. The first one is with Sean Peck of The Three Tremors. Now, if you're not familiar with The Three Tremors, it's Sean Peck of Cage and Death Dealer and like three or four other projects, Tim Ripper Owens of the new KK's Priest outfit, and formerly the replacement for Rob Halford in Judas Priest, and Harry Conklin from Jagdpanzer, old metal band from the 80s. Well, these guys have just released their second full-length album under the name of the band, The Three Tremors. New album comes out tomorrow. It's called Guardians of the Void. And actually, last night, November 3rd, they started a U.S. tour. And dates are up at threetremors.com. They're touring around the country, playing music from their first two albums and then music from all their singers' careers. So we're going to talk with Sean in just a minute. The second half of tonight's show, I do an interview with a listener of the show, Charlie Avino. He's an old-time rocker. He happened to go on YouTube and saw the interview clip that I did with Marty Duda, the guy that booked Ozzy Osbourne for that famous after-hours performance in Rochester 40 years ago. Well, Charlie was there that night at the taping as a young 20-something-year-old musician. He saw the clip I did with Marty, really loved it, got in touch with me, so I did an interview with him, and he gives us his account of the night, how he met Ozzy and Sharon and was talking with Tommy Aldridge and Randy Rhodes, and just another view of that night, that historic night right here in Rochester that the whole world has seen many times over on that Ozzy After Hours. Let's see. Also, we're inviting people to go to the podchaser.com website. Just go into the search engine box, punch in Metal Mayhem ROC, we'll pop right up, and do us a favor, leave a review, rate the show. That kind of stuff helps with the Google Analytics, and it helps get this show exposed to as many people as we can. Hey, I don't make the rules, I'm just playing by the rules. So if you can, podchaser.com. So that's tonight's show. As always, thank you for your support. Get over to the website, check out some of this past stuff, and again, help us with the Podchaser review. I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Hey! Listen up.
Now get that popcorn ready and grab a seat.
Do it!
As the Vernomatic presents this week's feature interview, exclusively here on Metal Mayhem ROC.
Our guest today, you'll know him from Cage, Death Dealer, and his latest outfit, Three Tremors. Let's welcome back to Metal Mayhem ROC, Metal Visionary, Sean Peck.
Man, Metal Visionary, that has a nice ring to it. I dig that. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, of course, use it any time. Congratulations. Tomorrow, the new Three Tremors release drops, Guardians of the Void. It's the second full length. Tell us a little bit about the project.
Well, first of all, I just went on to themetalstation.com. That's cool. I just logged that in my favorites. So I'm going to check that out. That looks really cool. The album drops, I don't know if we're live or whatever, but the album drops November 5th, actually. But we have a single out already. The pre-orders are at the3tremors.com. They're going like crazy. The response has been fantastic. We have... You know, we kind of run our own label with this and the other stuff that I put out, and then some friends' bands called Steel Cartel. You can go to steelcartel.com and YouTube / Steel Cartel. And we're well known for having incredible pre-order packages. We've got socks. We got 3Tremors socks. We got all kinds of stuff. So, the reaction's been fantastic, man. We only put out one song, and we've got a couple other videos coming out before the tour hits. So looking forward to people, you know, actually hearing the record. The album is never going to hit Spotify. You will never be able to hear this album for free, like every other record in the world. We released three videos. That gives you enough idea whether you're going to want to, you know, buy the record or not. But, you know, CD sales are up, vinyl sales are up, CD players and record players sales are up. And, you know, luckily in the heavy metal genre, people like to have the physical product. And, you know, our physical product is second to none. It is incredible looking. The artwork is insane. 16 panel booklets with all original art on every single page. The vinyls are, you know, incredible. So even if you're not buying one of our crazy bundle packages and you're just picking up the CD on Amazon, you know, it's worth the $15 to support the band. I'm taking a stand against Spotify and all these streaming platforms. Like, Friday rolls around and every single album in the world is just free for everybody to consume. And, you know, we like it that our fans and metalheads value the music. You know, the music has value, and we get supported greatly by the people that dig it. And, you know, more people need to take a stand like this. You know, it's not, we work super hard and spend lots of money on promotion and advertising and artwork and recording. And just to have the album out for free right when it comes out, it makes zero sense to me. We used to be in a music economy where there was no free music, and, you know, you could record a tape and trade tapes maybe. But now we just don't, you know, I've toured the Spotify headquarters. We got a private tour back in the day with that dealer, and it's disgusting, man. They're just, no one there does a damn thing. They're all sitting at their computers doing nothing. They have a huge multi-million-dollar gaming center where their employees can, you know, play video games if they're too stressed. They've got this kitchen where it's like everything is free. You can just eat and drink to your heart's content. And I was there with Ross, the boss, and he was just fuming, dude. He was going to pop a vein how sick to his stomach he was. And, yeah, and, you know, a lot of people are giving us props for having this stand.
Last time you were on the show, it was about a year ago when the Conquered Lands was released. And you mentioned in that interview that there was a side thought of maybe starting a heavy metal, quote, Spotify, something where it would just be metal bands and it would be a little better compensation for the bands. Is that something you followed up on, or was it just a...
No, I mean, I'm too much of a small fry to make anything like that happen. I don't think it's real. I mean, after talking to people in the industry, it's not possible because of all the contracts mm-hmm. that are already in existence. But, you know, if all the big metal labels got together and made their own thing, I mean, that would be a great way to go, but it's never going to happen. It's just it's another Sean Peck pipe dream.
Well, it sounded like a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Guardians of the Void. Quick question. Was this a planned post-death dealer release? The first one was 2019, the first 3Tremors. How did this one come about?
Well, we always, you know, knew we were going to make a new record. It was going to come out in 2022, but because we got this window of opportunity to do a U.S. tour, we put it out earlier. you know, the KK's Priest thing gave us an opportunity to a little window to make some shows happen in North America. So we jumped on it, pushed up the release, and there's always going to be another record for sure, you know. And then because of the KK's Priest thing, you know, our drummer from Cage and the Three Tremors is also in KK's Priest with Ripper. Mm-hmm. So performing is really the number one payoff. That's for a musician. That is the, you know, that is the big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That's the funnest part. Second funnest part is, you know, talking to people like you about it that are really interested in it. So I want to give you, you know, props and thanks for all the hard work that you do and the passion project that you got with your show and everything. And then, you know, creating the songs and seeing other people enjoy what you've created. I always say, like, you know, artists, they paint a painting, it sits in a gallery, some people stare at it and they go, that's amazing. But music, you know, with social media, you get people hitting you up and commenting. I mean, you get a lot of reaction from music, which is really gratifying to the person creating the song. You know, you get people saying, this fucking thing kicks ass, or you get reviews that, you know, say that it's good or what they liked or didn't like about it. And it's very gratifying from an artist standpoint, because there's not a lot of art genres where you get that kind of feedback. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Let's round out the roster. Tim Ripper Owens from Judas Priest, KK's Priest, and a whole list of others. And Harry Conklin, better known as the Tyrant. Harry goes old school. I remember back in the 80s with that Jag Panzer stuff. I was digging that back in 81, 82.
Underground legends.
Yeah. But the tour starts 11-3 in Connecticut. And you were talking about, you know, creating. You're a creative person. Well, unfortunately, the last year or two, you haven't been able to get out there and play. So how does it feel to actually book a tour? And do you have the confidence? Well, we only got like 15, 20 dates on this leg. But do you feel confident that these are going to happen?
Yeah, I see all these tours canceling. They've got a giant, you know, network of crew. And we're lean and mean, man. So, like, if one of the guys in the band gets, you know, the sniffles, the show's going on. We don't have crew guys that if they get sick, it's going to fall apart and have some domino effect. I mean, you know, some of the guys in the band have had COVID already. We think we all had COVID back in December 2019 before it was cool. Coming off tour, we were all sick as hell, lost our taste. So we were probably, you know, patient zero back then. And, you know, we've been vaccinated. And so we're feeling pretty confident. I've been out at, you know, I just was at Ripper and I just went to the Charger game with 70,000 Browns and Chargers fans, no masks, you know, elbow to elbow. So we're feeling pretty confident that we're going to, you know, get through these shows. And the reaction's been great, man. Some of them are selling out and, you know, people are hitting me up every day that they're coming. And because Judas Priest isn't on the road anymore, this is kind of really the only thing in this, you know, zone that like this on the road right now. So I think people are excited about it.
Yeah, we have a Rochester date on the 12th and then the Buffalo the 13th. So you're spending a weekend in Western New York looking forward to these shows.
Bill's Mafia. I can't wait to get out there, you know, play some new venues. And the show is insane, man. Anybody who's into metal listening out there, you've never seen anything like this. It's like an insane heavy metal, speed metal band with three singers that are, you know, kind of second to none.
Yeah.
You know, not that, I mean, Harry and Ripper are, you know, unmatched. I'm just okay. But it's, you know, with the three of us up there at the same time with the way the band is and everything, it's super powerful. And when we did that first Europe tour, there would always be some guy would come up to me after the show, like, may I speak with you for a second? Like some heavy German accent. Like, I have seen over 1,000 shows and this was one of the greatest shows I have ever seen. And so we were getting that like all the time from these hardcore metal people. So it's really encouraging. And like, you got to come in and check it out live.
Are you guys taking solos? Are you playing stuff from your back catalog? Is it just the three Tremor releases? What's the set list?
Well, last time we did, you know, a song from each of our catalog, and we did some covers, but this is going to be, you know, seven songs off the first record, seven songs off the second record, and maybe one or two covers. So it's going to be definitely three Tremor centric, but, you know, a lot of those song Bone Breakers, you know, we're doing really good. That's a single that we got out so far. We'll have another single out by the time the tour starts, Crucifier, which is another really good one. And, people love those, you know, the first album. So we decided to pull back from the heavy cover thing, and we're only going to do, like I said, one or two in there and go really Tremor centric. And I think people are going to love it.
Now, going back to the first one, you did that, you had offered that studio session, the solo. Do you have any plans to do that for this release?
Well, we keep getting asked about, I mean, we have them and they're amazing. It's just a matter of, you know, Dave Garcia, the guitar player and engineer who did this, the album sounds killer, man. The production on this album is like, he hit a home run on this thing. The drums sound like a helicopter flying over your house. It's insane. It's, you know, he's got to mix and master 36 songs. Yeah. It's a lot. So he's not too excited about tackling that. So we'll give him a little break for a while. He's got to finish this new Cage record, and then maybe I can hit him up to do that towards the end of next year. But right now he's telling me to go jump in a lake if I said, hey, dude, we got to mix those 36 tracks.
Yeah, I didn't exactly set that up correctly for the people listening. On the last release, the first one, the band did something unique where
the solo version,
where each singer did the entire album, the whole lineup alone. So you had three versions, actually probably four versions, the studio with all of them doing it, and then each singer did the entire album, just them singing. So that's, I guess, that would be a problem for the mixer. He has to, you know, remix all that in.
But people loved it though, and there's some incredible solo versions. I mean, we really should get them out there because they're just some amazing versions of the song. So, maybe one day, but it's not imminently in the plans.
We're talking with Sean Peck, the Hell Destroyer, one of three guys from the Three Tremors, along with Tim Ripper Owens and Harry the Tyrant Conklin. New album drops tomorrow on Steel Cartel Records. What's the cap on these rooms you're doing? Is it a 500 to 1500 of variety?
Because no, these are smaller, you know, 200 to 400 seater. So we're still growing the band, but it's been growing. Like I said, the pre-orders are bigger than the last release. The ticket sales are much better than the last tour. So and you know, it just keeps, it's a slow build, but it's fun that way. You know, I enjoy rooms like that. I enjoy a packed small room with 100 people in it. It's, you know, the enthusiasm is just fantastic. My top 10 most memorable shows, like, you know, I wouldn't even put Vakken in the top 20 as far as how I enjoyed myself and the crowd reaction. So just because you're, you know, musicians out there, everyone wants to play the big festivals, but they're not always that gratifying as, you know, a nice packed mid-sized room, to me anyways.
Yeah, and as a fan, I'm not going to any of these big festivals because when you see the bands, yeah, you got 20 bands, but you know the sets they're playing. There is no room for, no wiggle room in it. So I'm getting excited about going like to this the night.
It's going to be good.
The night before Black Label Society's in town up at the Armory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it's a, you know, it's an 800 seat place. It's a little bigger, but the intimacy is there. So stuff we're looking for.
I was Zach Wilde's guitar tech for like 10 shows. I don't even know how to turn an amp on. It was that was quite an adventure when we did the when Death Dealer opened for the Metal All Stars. Stu and I were Zach's techs for like the 10 shows. It was wild. We became really, you know, good buddies with Zach and told some funny stories.
Yeah, Zach's a good guy. I met him once. He was cool. Met him up at the House of Guitars. I'm sure that show will contain a 20-minute guitar solo that he just loves to do.
Yeah.
Let's see. A couple questions in the Steel Cartel. Now, when I'm involved with the radio station and looking at new music and doing research, you know, I work with all the publicists and the record companies, you know, I'm getting bombarded with stuff daily. And there's just so much out there. There's so many avenues to discover new music. And can anyone get on a label? And has it lost its luster throughout the years?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, you want to put an album out. You know, basically, you know, people that are in young new bands, they want to be on a label, and they think that's going to get them, you know, shows. And the labels want, you know, bands that are willing to sleep in the van and just play 300 dates a year and just really grind it. That's why, you know, when we put out the Death Dealer thing, like these labels, like, this album is great, but you're a bunch of old dudes and you're not gonna go out and, you know, do the freaking dirty work, sleep on the floor and, you know, all that stuff. So, and, you know, obviously the revenue from the music business is not what it is, because the physical units don't sell anything like they used to. So, you know, if you have taken a chance on a new band, it's, you know, it's like, it seems like you're going to lose money no matter what. So I don't, you know, that's why on my label, I do my stuff and then my friends' bands. But, you know, as far, other bands are hitting me up all the time, like, hey man, you know, we're looking for a label. And I'm like, sounds killer, but I'm not, you know, I'm not excited about losing $15,000 on your band. So I don't know how these labels are doing it, man. They think they're just doing the the volume of the streaming. And, I've talked to a few of the smaller labels and how they're licensing deals to these bands. And, you know, there's not a lot of them are getting any significant money up front, but it's not as catastrophic as it was before, because, you know, it doesn't take $25,000 to make a record anymore. You know,
well, that's where I was going with this question. It's just, there's overabundancy of just music. And you know, it's not like the olden days where you hear a demo and it sounds like some dude recording it on his boombox in the basement. Now these are broadcast quality recordings. They're all digital, but there's just so much out there that after a while I'm just listening. Sean, I'm telling you, like, you know, I'll sit down an hour, couple hours on the weekend and just go through this, and nothing just grabs you. It wasn't until Jarvis Lethierby, I had a chance to talk with him in the spring when the new Cirith Ungol came out. And we got on, I mean, we were on the phone for like 2 hours. I he's a great dude.
Yeah, I miss talking to him. I need to call him, man. We used to talk all the time.
You know, he's telling me about the whole traditional wave of British heavy metal movement, and he was turning me onto these bands. And that's where I'm finding a lot of the stuff that is, well, my personal preference, you know, the Enforcers and the Night Demons and a lot of those. I can't do the Cookie Monster bands. I tried. And so it's a nice little pocket, you know, bands like the Outfits you do. That's great stuff. The musicians kill it. The vocals are there. You know, you could go there and it's like almost old school. So,
you know what album I really liked last year was the James Durbin record he put out.
Yeah. I got into that. That was good stuff. And
then now we got KK's Priest. I mean, that's just a solid heavy metal record. So you'll find little hidden gems, man. But I'm like you. I'm looking for a song that I hear it and I want to play it like, you know, 10 times in a row. Like I'm looking for those magic moments. And sometimes it's hard to find. Like, there's a lot of bands with a lot of talent. The guitar shreds, singer's great, but you know, you just, where is that, the song that just like kicks your ass? Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
And, you know, then you're going old school. You like to get into a band and then go see them live and grow with the band. And that's why I'm excited about like your tour and just some of these other ones. It's, I think we're all just hungry.
Well, the Three Tremors is a band. It's not a project. We've done like, I think, 70 shows together. We're going to throw another 20 on here. So, you know, we put that out like right away. Like before the record was out, we were touring in Europe. So we're like, this isn't, you know, a Frontiers Records all-star project. It's never, you know, you can emotionally and monetarily invest in this band, and you can put that patch on your jacket and you can wear that patch jacket to the show because we're coming to see you. And, you know, and it's a cool thing. It's different. You know, it's got three singers. It doesn't have one singer and really great songs. So
is the Cage Guys touring? Is it the touring band?
Yeah, we just did some two Ripper solo shows out here with Cage as the band, which was pretty cool. I went up and sang a couple tracks with them, but it was Ripper solo shows. So we're a big heavy metal street gang, man. Not only are we, you know, in the band together, but we're all, you know, friends. We talk on the phone. Like, I'll call Ripper and we won't even talk about music, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's I'm in it for the fun of it. And the enjoyment, you know, so I want to be with people that I enjoy being around. And like the seven of us really bonded. It's like, I mean, we have a blast on the road. Like performing's fun, but all the other shit, even when shit goes haywire, you know, it's fun. Like we've had the bands break down. We broke down 100 miles outside of Pittsburgh. And there's literally like Amish wagons going back and forth. Like there's no Uber, there's no taxi, there's nothing out here. And we're standing at a gas station. I literally flagged down cars and convinced some people to drive us 100 miles into Pittsburgh so we can make the show happen. So there's been like, you know, and that kind of stuff's fun. And the camaraderie makes it really enjoyable and people can feel that on stage during the songs. It's like street lethal, deadly heavy metal, but in between the songs it's literally like a stand-up comedy show between me and Ripper and Harry, man. We're just making jokes like the whole time, so it's fun, man.
Quick roll call, what's going on with Death Dealer's
got a new EP coming out December 5th. We're about to start in the press mode of that. The EP is killer, like four insane songs, vinyls, the whole usual incredible packet of stuff. It's called Fuel Injected Suicide Machine, and it's a Mad Max vibe kind of thing. Then there's a Death Dealer, the fourth Death Dealer album is completely finished. That'll come out next year. And there's even a fifth album that's pretty much finished for Death Dealer. So if Death Dealer is far as the eye can see, Cage, we have 20 songs at least. That album is called Dungeon Crawler, and it has a really insane, unique physical product component to it that I can't reveal yet, but it is super, super cool. That'll come out next year, probably June-ish. And then I've done a bunch of guest stuff that's coming out. And we also have something else that's really huge in the works because I didn't have enough bands. Also, the Warrior thing, you know, we did a show with Warrior that was great. So I think we're going to do some live Warrior shows out here on the West Coast, maybe, and maybe we'll record some songs. I don't know. I have a good time with those guys. And then I have another, you know, thing coming out that'll be huge news. That's kind of related, you know, back to the Denner Sherman stuff that I was doing.
Oh, so, love that. Love all, that.
All kinds of metal coming.
You got it together, Sean. It's, well, like I said, the metal visionary.
I love it.
So, yeah, so come check us out on thatmetalstation.com. We have jocks from around the world. It's 24 hours of metal.
I got it up right now, man. This looks cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Well, you know, we all do it, labor of love, but, you know, we take it seriously. And it's cool because, you know, you get people in this chat room, they're all over the place. You know, you got guys talking to each other. One's in Philly, one's in Cincy, one guy's in the Bronx, and the metal community is where it's at. And, you know, we love the old stuff, but my job here is to bring in the new stuff as well. So
cool, man. Well, you do a great job, and thanks for having me.
Congratulations. Tomorrow, the new three Tremors release drops, Guardians of the Void. It's the second full length. Go to steelcartel.com
or the3tremors.com and definitely check out the YouTube page. If you like blistering heavy metal and funny jokes, youtube.com/steelcartel. Pick it up on Amazon or wherever you got to get it. Support the physical product. This will not be on Spotify, just to repeat. And it was a great time, man. Always great to talk to you.
All right. I'll see you on the 13th when you're up here in Rochester.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Attention metalheads, we all want to return to concert venues soon. Introducing Metal Mayhem ROC Metal Forever Freedom X Sanitizer. This sanitizer product is water and foam based, manufactured with proprietary HYIQ solution. That's right, no alcohol, but more effective. Manufactured following FDA sanitizer monograph guidelines. It applies smooth without irritating the skin. Safe for all ages. Keep your friends and family safe with Metal Mayhem ROC's own sanitizer. Visit MetalMayhemROC.com or metalforever.com to order your bottles now. Use promo code METAL at the Freedom X checkout store for a show discount. Now back to Metal Mayhem ROC.
So tonight I have a very special interview. I have a VIP listener. His name's Charlie Avino, and he went on YouTube and on his own, he watched the interview that I did with Marty Duda. It was celebrating the Ozzy Osbourne After Hour appearance back at WUHF in Rochester, New York in 1981. Charlie commented on it, and he mentioned that he was in the audience that night. He was a young musician, fresh out of college, working in the Rochester area. So I got in touch with him, and I have him on here tonight to tell his story.
Let's do it.
Hey, Charlie, what's up, buddy?
Oh, man, feeling good. Great evening here. It's nice and cool. Heat wave is over. What do you guys want to know about that show? I was there.
You were there. Well, let's get right to it. Spill the beans. Give us paint the picture, Charlie.
Here we go. Marty Duda was the president, if you want to call him that, of Out of Print Records. We all thought that was kind of fun. Gives my lead guitar player a call, Eric, and says, hey, you guys want to go see Ozzy? And I'm thinking, yeah, they're in town. I said, yeah, sure, let's all go. He goes, no, they're making a video down on East Ave at the studio, at the soundstage. And I'm like, count me in. We drive down there. We walk right in. There's no VIP, no nonsense. We just walk, take the elevator right up. I think it's about the third floor. We walk in, and there's Ozzy, Randy Rhodes, Tommy Aldridge, Rudy Sarzo. They're just standing around in their rock and roll outfits, you know, their stage gear. The marshals are stacked, the huge drum sets over in the corner, and I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And that's the setup. And I don't think there was any more than 30 people. Marty said 30. I remember 20. But, you know, we're dibbling here.
Oh, yeah, it's 40 years ago. You know, the story changes. So yeah. So the band's there, and were you a Sabbath fan? You knew who Ozzy was?
Absolutely. Oh, are you kidding? I had seen them in Madison Square Garden as a younger teenager. And, you know, everyone knew the story of Ozzy, you know, his troubles, losing, you know, his job there with Sabbath. But we were well aware that he was on the comeback trail. And here's a chance to see, you know, someone you absolutely admired. As a young teenager, I think I'm like 20 something at that point. Yeah, I'm 22. And I'm like, I get to see Ozzy up close. I was out of my mind.
So tell us about the gig. They played four or five songs.
Yep.
Keep going.
Yeah, they played four songs. They did them each twice. That's how I sat there and learned. I was in a really hardworking band at the time, and I watched them do their work. And that's what I took away the most, was how professional they were. They had to do each song twice so they could get different camera angles. So that meant they had to play almost exactly the same way twice, which it's tough. If you play in bands, it doesn't always go that well. And that's what they did. And what really stands out, and then everyone knows it, if you've seen the video, Randy Rhodes is on fire. And we knew about him from Quiet Riot. But, you know, when you see someone that close, we were literally 4 feet away. anyone could have reached out and touched anyone on that stage, except maybe, Tommy Aldridge back there on drums. The marshals were stacked and Randy Rhoads was on fire. And the guy is so shy. They'd end a song. Then he'd look down at his feet a little bit and twiddle with his guitar. Right. And then in between each song, they would take a break. And I remember this clearly. Sharon was there. They weren't married yet. And Ozzy and Sharon are sipping tea. Now, they were coffee cups, but, could have been anything in there. But it certainly didn't seem like it was alcohol or anything crazy. And everyone else was just hanging out drinking soft drinks. And that's what really got to see professionals act professional. It was time to do their job. They would just walk around, be quiet. Tommy Aldridge could not have been nicer. Took me back by his drum set. We taught drums. I'm a drummer. He showed me how he cleaned his cymbals so beautifully. It was a lifetime, a dream thing that happened to you.
Any autographs, any pictures, any memorabilia?
I didn't think of it, and I didn't think it would be appropriate because we were invited, a special guest. And, you didn't want to act like the fan. Those guys literally treated us like fellow musicians. Rose is painfully shy, but I know my guitar player had a few words with him, just very few. They talked about, his Les Paul or something. My buddy had a Les Paul. Just real musician small talk. And that's what I have taken away all the time because I was able to be backstage for a bunch of shows throughout my career is how professional almost all bands are. And I've seen a few bands be completely unprofessional, especially near the end of a show. Maybe they're doing too many shots or something. And you go, I don't want to be like that. But those guys were professional. That's what I took away from it.
Did you speak with Ozzy?
No. I thought Ozzy had a tiny entourage around him. I'm pretty sure Marty talked with Marty Duda. But I gave Sharon was dominating him at that point. You could tell. We really didn't know who she was at the time. And then they became famous again. Oh, that was the woman. She was literally guarding the guy. She was never more than a step or two away from him, except when he sang. So no one really got to talk with Ozzy.
So you knew Marty from college. Give a brief history.
We met my freshman year. He was running the radio station, or had a lot to do with it. And he got me to play drums for charity for 24 hours at a time in the student union. And I did it. They gave me like a 5-minute break, every hour. And I played drums for 24 hours to raise money. And my roommate was the freshman heavyweight wrestler. Brockport's very famous for wrestling. He stood on his head for 24 hours. The guy was incredible, crazy man, athlete. So we had so much fun. And I remember just sleeping for like a day afterwards. But so Marty and I go way back. We traded. I needed a Good Rats album. He had it, the first one, Tasty. So I traded a Crack the Sky album I had. He took it right out of the radio station. I don't care about it anymore. I had like one of the few copies of that first Good Rats album. So Marty and I just went back. We ran in the same circles. That's all.
That's great. That was the 70s. That's what it was all about. Lucky
you.
No,
man. The albums. I went into that studio. I said, hey, you guys got Tasty by the Good Rats together? And Marty goes, yeah. Because what do you got? And I said, what do you want? And I had to go buy that record. I was able to find it at the Record Grove or whatever it was called in Brockport. And we slopped. So, I blew all my friends away down in Rockland County. I had an actual album of because Warner Brothers dropped them. That's the way it worked back then, but still owned the rights.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Charlie Avino, thanks for taking a walk down heavy metal memory lane. We appreciate the input.
It was just a great time. And I just wanted to say one last thing here. You guys would not believe the volume in that small soundstage. Those marshals were on. They were double stacked and your hair went back on the back of your neck. Your hair stood. It stood. And it was just absolute experience of a lifetime. Randy Rhoads is the master. And I hate to tell you guys this, but I got to see him 4 feet away.
that's impressive. But that's funny. That's ironic that you mentioned that it was so loud, because in some of these comments, and listeners, you could, if you haven't yet, go to YouTube and look under the Metal Mayhem ROC channel and you'll see the interview. But some listeners have commented that were there that what is it?
The cameras.
Yes.
The tubes in the camera wobbled.
That's loud.
It was, but you know, if you play in rock bands back in the 70s, the 80s, you ate it up. We used to have an expression, if it's too loud, you're too old, you know?
Yeah. So, all right, Charlie, well, we'll let you get back to your Saturday night.
All right.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, buddy.
Fantastic. Thank you, everyone. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That's Charlie Avino, big time listener, sharing his Randy Rhoads experience. So that's tonight's show. Remember the Three Tremors. They're playing Rochester, the Montage. On the weekend of the 14th and 15th, they're in Rochester, Syracuse, and Buffalo, spending the weekend in Western New York. The new album comes out again tomorrow. Just to remind you to go to podchaser.com. Please do us a favor, review, rate the show. That kind of stuff helps. Monday nights, the Metal Mayhem ROC Live radio show. We appreciate the continued support. I'm the Vernomatic, Metal Mayhem ROC. We'll see you next week.
Metal for Life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone,
even your non-metal friends.
Catch us next time on WLFE-DB Radio.